Larry Elder. Larry Elder here, the sage from South Central, the prince of Pico Union, the czar of common sense, the great Eldersky, Don Lorenzo. Welcome to the program. No victocrats allowed because we've got a country to save. So let's get her teed up!
Do you want to play rock? Say hello to my new friend!
What the hell's going on out here?
Ooh, that's a bingo.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Next segment, we'll be talking with Dov Hyken. He's a longtime lawmaker in New York, Democrat, still a Democrat. Founded an organization called Americans Against Anti-Semitism. I'm going to talk to him about proposed curriculum here in California. Here's a headline from the Times of Israel. California Board of Education rejects proposed curriculum that angered Jews. And there's an article in a magazine called Tablet, headline, as the leading targets of hate crimes, Jews are routinely being attacked on the streets of New York City, so why is no one acting like it's a big deal? We're going to talk to Dov Hyken about all of that and more in just a few minutes, 888-971-SAGE. And at 6:40 p.m. Pacific time, I'm going to be on Geraldo. My co-panelist is going to be on Hannity. My co-panelist is going to be Geraldo. We're going to be talking about San Francisco and how the officials in San Francisco are now labeling the NRA a terrorist organization. I kid you not. A terrorist organization. So stick around for that. Debbie is in Pennsylvania. Debbie, you're on the Larry Elder Show. Thank you so much for calling.
Larry, you had me just about rolling on the floor laughing with that Jehovah's Witness comment because I am an ex-Jehovah's Witness who is a very happy Republican. And my old boyfriend who helped me to see the light, we used to sit and watch Tucker Carlson while we were having dinner. And he was the one who, you know, basically educated me on conservative politics. And one of his best friends is actually George W. Bush. And I was very happy for the first time that I got to vote as a United States citizen. I got to vote for George W. Bush in an election. And it was really funny because I walked into the polling place and they're looking at me and I'm 44 years old and like, what do you mean you've never voted before? So I had to explain to them, you know, that I had been, so to speak, living under a rock as a Jehovah's Witness and never gotten a vote before, but I absolutely love your show because of the fact that you are so clear with all of the exposure with the narcissistic agenda that the Democrats are engaging in. And as somebody who left a very controlling religious environment, I've studied the dynamics of control, and I see every bit of their nonsense very clearly as a psychological disorder.
Wow. Debbie, where are you from originally?
I grew up originally on Long Island in Smithtown, and then, you know, twists and turns, I wound up in Pennsylvania.
I thought you said you were from a different country.
No.
I was going to say that I can't figure out this accent. You sounds to me like New Yorkish.
Yeah, I'm an island girl. Mm-hmm. Not Brooklyn, but the island. And it was really funny because some people have such an impression of Long Island. When I say that I'm from Long Island, they envision all city. I said, I rode my horse to school every day. Mm-hmm. No, there really is some country out there.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much for calling, and thank you so much for seeing the light. We really do appreciate it. Now, there is a member of The View named Sonny Hoskins. She is peeved at Jay-Z for doing a deal with the NFL when the NFL did not give Colin Kaepernick a job. She said, police brutality against blacks is still a leading cause of death.
I think the other message that he said, which was we are past kneeling, is inappropriate in the sense that if you think about it, the leading cause of death for young black men, one of the leading causes of death.
Notice, she corrected that. First she said the leading cause, and then she corrected it to one of the leading causes.
The leading cause of death for young black men, one of the leading causes of death between 2013 and 2018 is police brutality.
And that's what he was kneeling.
And that.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Let's just take 2016. Over 7,000 blacks were murdered, almost all by other blacks. Do you know how many black people were killed by the police in 2016, according to the Washington Post? 233, or 3% of the black people killed were killed by the police. 97% killed by people other than cops. A leading cause. Are you kidding me? And as the Washington Post pointed out, the majority of those who were killed were resisting with a weapon. Leading cause of death? By far, leading cause of death for young black men, other young black men. The number of black men killed by the police, not even close. You know, I hear people like that. I think about people like Satchel Paige, the Hall of Famer, who didn't make it into the major leagues until he was in his 40s. He was interviewed in 1981. Let's listen to part of it.
As I practice all the time, I just practice control. Anything you practice, you begin to come good at it. I don't know, regardless of what it is, whether it's baseball or not. I think I got so good in baseball once, 3-2, the batter was in a hole, not me, because I could get the third pitch in there just as good as I wanted to.
And it would probably be a fastball because that was your pitch.
Yeah, well, hey, what you're going to find out, too, again, when you start to talking about me after you leave here. Everybody, they say, if you tell me what he going to throw, I can hit it. That's the biggest story I've ever been told. Because if you're looking for a fastball on your knees and I throw it at your belt as fast as I had one back in there, I tell you, I'm doing around 90-some miles an hour with it.
And he was asked, what kind of racial abuse did you suffer while playing? For all the people who talk about microaggressions and safe space.
Well, what kind of racial abuse did you get when you were with Cleveland? Did people ever yell any nasty race stuff at you?
Well, one or two of the baseball clubs did it, not the people in the fan. I had a couple of cracks from the baseball clubs. And
what did they say?
I still try to get my goat. I don't much blame them. I know it was all about it. There's some people I really know, too, that I wouldn't call their name for nothing in the world. Because they're too big of men, and they're still living, too, right now. And you know them, too. You know them well, too, and you wouldn't think they said it. But they're trying to say anything to get my goat to keep me from beating them. See, because I didn't drop it one game there, you know. That first year I got in there. And that was kind of hard for a stranger to come in there and strike out the men like I was striking out in there. You know, understand me? That's pretty rough to take. So they didn't say anything. They didn't care what they said. For that concern, they could have got me roused up, you know, where I'd walk somebody. I had to come out. That's what they were trying to do.
Now, he, at the age of 42, in 1948, became the oldest major league rookie, played for the Cleveland Indians. He was the first player in the Negro Leagues to pitch in the World Series in 1948. And he was asked, are you bitter?
Satchel, are you bitter about the fact that you didn't play in the major leagues at the time that you were at your peak?
Well, some parts. I won't say the majors. Where I was hurt the most at is when I went to Cleveland night and won the thing for Cleveland, and they wouldn't pitch me. They wouldn't start me. Now I was a little peeved there. Me and my wife was too, because everybody and the whole world was too, but they had never said anything about it. But they couldn't help from being not when I had. Won the whole thing for them, and they pitched everybody on the ball club but me. And I was top man in baseball, period, that year. Pitcher, top pitcher. And why they didn't pitch me, I don't know. But I had some ideas.
What's your idea?
Well, they had other pitchers there had been going good, and Then I was colored, too, and that went against me. And it was a World Series, and all the rest of the kids wanted to pitch in the World Series, whether they was good pitchers or not. And so that's how it was. I have a right to be bitter because I was, after they found out I could play, after I had stayed out of baseball 15 or 14 years, I was still cheated out of 15 or 16 years by Tony Meluso in baseball.
We'll revisit more of this interview later on. I am Larry Elder. Dolph Hyken up next.
It's the Sage, Larry Elder.
Hi, Larry. I heard you mention Fox News tonight, and I just want to know, what is Fox News doing to help Donald Trump? They have Donna Brazile, Juan Williams, and they're doing nothing to help him to be the next president. They should not be negative. They ought to be more uplifting, and they kind of don't do that. So that's my view, and I don't like Fox, and I will not be watching them anymore either.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. You didn't mention Shepard Smith. Later on, we're going to talk about even Whoopi Goldberg attacked actress Deborah Messing, who said, well, there's a fundraiser here in Hollywood for Donald Trump. I want the Hollywood Reporter covering the event to disclose all the people who attend this fundraiser so that, quote, we know who we don't want to work with, end of quote. And I'll go back to the interview with Satchel Paige that took place in 1981. He was asked whether Jackie Robinson was the right choice to be the first black player. He was asked about hotel conditions when he played. He's asking about the crowds that he drew. As I mentioned, he didn't become a major leaguer in the professional major leagues or the white major leagues until 1948. And in a period of three games, he drew over 200,000 people. We'll be talking about all of that in just a minute. My next guest is the president of Americans Against Antisemitism. For a long time, he represented Brooklyn's Assembly District 48, held that position for 35 years as a Democrat until 2018. He hosts a weekly radio show in New York City. Please welcome back to our program, Dov Hyken. Dov, you're in Israel. What time is it there?
Hi, Larry.
Hi, what time is it there?
Good to be with you. It's 3:20 in Jerusalem.
3:20 p.m. or a.m.?
A.M., middle of the night.
Wow. Well, thank you for getting up for us, Dov. We really do appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
So much stuff to talk about. There is an article in Tablet magazine, as headline, as the leading targets of hate crimes, Jews are routinely being attacked in the streets of New York City. So why is no one acting like it's a big deal? Dov, are Jews being routinely attacked in the streets of New York City, and are the local politicians ignoring this?
Well, first of all, there's no question about that. The statistics don't lie. Anti-Semitism, hate directed against Jews is out of control, unprecedented, the numbers. This year alone, 41% increase in anti-Semitic incidents. It's Larry, it's crazy what's going on. Jews are being assaulted because they are Jews. No other reason. And it is happening on a daily basis, and the statistics don't tell the entire story. I had someone in my synagogue just this past weekend in New York tell me that he was at a subway station in Brooklyn, and a woman came over to him and, you know, never met the woman, just walked over to him and said, effing Jew twice and walked away. The guy was stunned. Something is not right, Larry. Something is so wrong. And there is no question that it is not being addressed in a serious way. I know that everyone condemns anti-Semitism. And, you know, it doesn't take courage to do that. It takes courage to ask the questions that need to be asked. You know, where is it coming from? Who are the perpetrators when we can identify the perpetrators? Where is the hate coming from? You know, I wear a yarmulke on my head. I don't know if you could identify as me as a Jew. I believe you can. Why do people hate me just because I'm a Jew? People that don't know me, people that never met me, they don't know if I'm a nice guy, not so nice. They have no idea except one thing. I'm a Jew. And if you're a Jew, we're going after you. And so many people have been assaulted, beaten up, blood running in the streets. And you know, we have no leadership. We have people condemning it, but no one is dealing with the issue. No one is dealing. I can only say this. Just imagine if there were one attack. Let's make it two attacks upon people who are transgender or people who are gay or people in the minority community. Let's say there were two attacks emanating from the white community or let's say from the Jewish community. Could you imagine the uproar that would be going on in New York? Mm-hmm. Do you think the mayor would still be campaigning somewhere in the United States and not be in New York? You know, there would be yelling and screaming and demonstrations and everything in the world. But we've had hundreds of people who have been assaulted, who have been attacked. There is fear, Larry. There is fear in communities. When people come over to me, Larry, and this has happened a number of times, people have sent me emails. They ask me, do you think this is pre-Nazi Germany? And my answer is, no, it's not. But the very fact, Larry, that people are asking that question, the fact that people think that way, are we living through that period, like the pre, you know, when it gets even worse? I mean, that's really, really scary when people think that. And it is not being addressed. It is just beyond comprehension that this is not being taken seriously. I know all the speeches and all the comments and the press conferences, but we're not dealing with it. We're not asking the right questions. We're not really getting into the people, the individuals who are out there and hate.
Do we still have him? I think the connection broke. Dov Hyken, my guest, Americans Against Anti-Semitism. His website is AmericansAA.org, AmericansAA.org. We'll try and get the connection back. Regarding the statistics that he just now mentioned, according to the NYPD, the number of religious-based hate crimes jumped from 17 in 2017 to 33 in 2018. The number for the first half of this year at 19. According to the NYPD's hate crime unit, Jews are the most frequent targets of hate crime in New York City. By far, Jews are the most frequent crime of religious-based hate crimes in this country. Four times as many Jews are suffering from hate crimes as Muslims, even though the former AG, Loretta Lynch, frequently warned about anti-Muslim hate. But the targets, the most likely targets of a religious-based hate crime, are Jews, and have been that so for a very long period of time. Dov Hyken is an American politician, New York State. He was an assemblyman for 35 years, is a Democrat, has not changed his party, but is very likely going to endorse President Trump in 2020. Last time he was on, he told us that, and feels very strongly that the reason for this is because the Democrats have a growing problem, he says, of anti-Semitism within their ranks. Do we have him back? Okay, I think we've got him back. Dov, I don't know what happened, but I guess you're back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, well, hold on. We got to take a break in about just a few seconds. So, Dov Hyken, please don't go away. Let's find out what's causing the rise in anti-Semitic hate crime, and why is it that, according to Tablet and according to you, nobody in New York is terribly concerned about it. 888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. I am Larry Elder. Do not leave town.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show.
Yeah, Larry Russell from San Pedro. Could someone please ask Cortez and all the environmentalist wackos why they're not over there in Syria, Afghanistan, Iran, with all those bombs and rockets going off, what the destruction to the planet is doing with the smoke and the explosions? Please, Cortez, get the environmentalists over there and stop that damage to the climate and the planet. Talk at you.
Please, little steps for little feet. First, she has to figure out how to work a garbage disposal. 888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. We'll get back to the Satchel Paige interview in just a few minutes. Also, even Whoopi Goldberg does not appreciate an actress saying that, "I want to know who all the people are at this Donald Trump fundraiser here in Beverly Hills. That way, quote, we'll know who not to work with," close quote. Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back. Now you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, the Body Pillow, regularly $89.99. With promo code Larry, only $29.99. All MyPillow products, including the Body Pillow, are now deep discounts. So enter promo code Larry or call 800-890-1843 for these great radio specials. My guest is Dov Hyken. He is the founder of Americans Against Anti-Semitism, a longtime politician in New York. He is a Democrat. Dov, I'm sure you know about this New York Times senior editor named Tom Wright Persanti, who's now apologized for, quote, several offensive tweets, close quote, from a decade ago, including one that said this: "I was going to say crappy New Year, but one of my resolutions is to be less anti-Semitic. So happy Jew Year, you Jews." This guy, Dov, is still there. He's been demoted, but he's still there. What's up?
It is unbelievable. It's the double standard that exists on the left. You know, again, anything that goes on with the Trump administration, you got everyone on the left jumping. Everyone, all the media jumping. But when it comes to the left, indulging in vile, I mean, this is vile, Larry. This is not borderline, you know, guy said something. This is hateful. Oh, my God. The New York Times, the progressive or liberal newspaper in the United States, they tolerate this. They give this guy an opportunity to continue. They wouldn't be so kind to you or to me or to many of us who are more in the center or more to the right. They would never give us the benefit of the doubt.
Senior politics editor, Dov, and he says, one of my resolutions is to be less anti-Semitic. So here he is admitting that he's anti-Semitic.
Yeah, you know, this is so vile and so dangerous, what is going on in this country. And, you know, the question of anti-Semitism, are we surprised that there is so much of it in the streets? I mean, the people who indulge in this anti-Semitism, I mean, do we not believe that they are reading and following? And when you have members of the United States Congress indulging in anti-Semitism and we let them get away with it, Are we shocked that what's going on in the streets where Jews are being attacked because I want to get a Jew, I want to assault a Jew, I want to assault an innocent person who's walking down the street? So, yeah, when you let people get away, from the very beginning of this, Larry, when the anti-Semitism began to grow, the numbers began to grow, we didn't deal with it in New York. You know, with statistics, it'll be better next week. You know, it'll be better in 2 weeks. But it's gotten out of control now. And I don't know what the future is, Larry. I can't tell you that I am secure that everything is going to be fine and we can live in peace and so on. When you have a situation, and people in the Jewish community are asking real questions, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to defend ourselves? How do we send a message to City Hall and to all the politicians in New York? You know, politicians in New York who are all basically Democrats and liberal and progressive, you know, they know what's going on, but they are cowards, Larry. They don't want to antagonize the progressives. They don't want to go too far out. Yeah, don't say they're against anti-Semitism. But where's the anti-Semitism coming from? Who are most of the perpetrators of these acts? The police department is very much aware, and so are people. There have been some articles about that. Where is it coming from? What community? The people indulging in the hate, are they getting it in their home? Are they getting it in their community? Are they getting it in school? Where's it coming from? If we don't ask these questions and face this reality, we are doomed.
Dov, we're going to have to leave it here.
We are in real trouble.
Dov, thank you very much for coming on, as always. Wow.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show. It's hard work wins. You get out of life what you put into it. And now, here's Larry Elder.
Hey, Larry, great show. But hey, just deal with Trump and Fox You know Trump is not lying. Come on, man. Fox hired Donna Brazile after she lied to all of us, and then they give her a job. They're no different than CNN. You know, the only reason why I watch Fox is because of Hannity and Laura Ingraham. Other than that, I go to One American Network, you know, because, you know, they try to play nice. You can't be nice. We've been nice too long. They've been taking us for fools no more. They're all CNN. Fox. They can't fool me no more. Obama opened my eyes, actually. See
you. 888-971-SAGE. 888-971-7243. Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com. Studio Salem is looking for a few good people who have been fighting the culture war in this country. Go to my website, LarryElder.com. Click on the banner. If you want to nominate somebody for the Salem 2020 Culture Warrior of the Year, we'll go through the nominees and name some finalists and ask you to come back later and vote on them. We know we have a culture war going on in this country. Now it's time to honor and award those people who've become culture warriors, who fight the good fight every day for the future of this country. So go to my website, LarryElder.com. And follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. The Instagram handle is Larry Elder Show. And I'm going to be on the Hannity Show in about an hour, along with Geraldo Rivera. We'll be talking about San Francisco and how the officials there have designated the NRA as a terror organization. I kid you not. I was talking about one of the panelists on The View going BMW about police brutality against blacks. At first she said it was the leading cause of death for blacks, and then she said a leading cause. Define leading. Over 7,000 blacks died in 2016, almost all at the hands of another black person. 7,000 blacks were murdered, almost all at the hands of another black person. Of that number, roughly 233 were killed by the police, so 3%. Let's talk about somebody who really went through something. Satchel Paige, the fabulous pitcher, was a star in the Negro Leagues and was finally allowed to play in the major leagues when he was, they suspect, 42. He might have been even older, in 1948, where he helped the Cleveland Indians win the pennant and helped them win the World Series. He was asked, what were the hotel accommodations like when you played?
The thing is, I practice all the time. I just practice control. Anything you practice, you begin to come good at it. I don't know, regardless of what it is, whether it's baseball or not. I think I got so good in baseball once, 3-2, the batter was in a hole, not me, because I could get the third pitch in there just as good as I wanted to.
And it would probably be a fastball because that was your pitch.
Yeah, well, here what you're going to find out, too, again, when you start to talking about me after you leave here. Everybody, they say, if you tell me what he going to throw, I can hit it. That's the biggest story I've ever been told. Because if you're looking for a fastball on your knees and I throw it at your belt as fast as I had one back in there, I tell you, I'm doing around 90-some miles an hour with that ball right there. I can tell you that right now. And that's pretty fast, you know, from that little short distance up there.
Now, how about the story that you used to write fastball on the bottom of your left shoe so that when you put the foot up and the pitch was going to come, the batter could see the word fastball?
Well, they had that going, but to tell you the truth, that's not true. That's not true. And I'm not going to tell you no stories because I'm going to have to meet up with a lot of people now where this is going to go at. I'm going to meet them. Don't worry about a thing. And it ain't like nobody can't speak English like I used to play over in Cuba and I could say anything because it couldn't speak English, you know, when it got back over here. But over here, it's different. See, I got to tell the truth over here. But I tell you, but that's not true.
Satch, one of the things they say about you is that when you were traveling with your all-stars, either you got good lodgings, good accommodations, or you didn't go. Now,
yes, that's right. Because see, we wasn't making much money, and my men had to play every day, and we wasn't eating the best on earth. You understand?
And you had problems, racial problems.
Yeah, we had too many racial problems. Racial problems so bad, I don't want to even tell you about it. For as that concerned, if we had money, we'd have to go in the back to eat or eat out a paper sack or somewhere like that. But nevertheless, we overcome that, and it was rough. It was no maybe so. And when I would tell them I would come there, they'd have to find some place. You know, it wasn't staying in all hotels like you are now either.
Was it just the South or the North as well?
Well, some places in the North, too. It was a lot of them in the North. Washington and Baltimore and those places like that was just as bad as Mississippi or Georgia or any of those places down there for a colored man. It's no maybe so about it because I played baseball in both of them. I mean, all of them. And they'd have to get, most of the times, obviously, we had a lot of colored hotels. There wasn't no big ones like you have now, but we had a lot of colored hotels. And whoever would want us in that town, they would rent the best of the rooms for me and guarantee that they get the two meals a day and like that. And then I would come in there like that. But we got in bad several times like that, but not in the most of the times we did not. We didn't get in trouble after they found out I wouldn't come down unless they had some good place to stay.
Satchel Paige was the first player who played in the Negro Leagues to pitch in the World Series in 1948. He played with the St. Louis Browns after he left the Indians until the age of 47 and represented the Browns in the All-Star Games of 1952 and 1953. He was asked, how good were the Negro Leagues compared to the Major Leagues?
How good were the Negro Leagues compared to the Major Leagues?
Tops. They was tops. We could take any club that we had in our league and play any one of the Major Leagues.
Any club in the Negro Leagues could play any club. The worst in the Negro Leagues could play the best in the Major Leagues.
Yes, sir. We had a lot of colored baseball players. Now, I'm going to show you, I'll give you a little instant on this. All right, you're letting us in with baseball. You're letting us in with baseball. You let us in with basketball. You let us in with football. So we had a lot of them. And don't you let nobody fool you. We had a lot of baseball players, top men. I wasn't the only Satchel back there. We had a lot of Satchels, but I just lasted longer than the rest of them. We had a lot of Satchel Pages back there. We had a lot of hell of a nice ball club. The Homestead Grays and Pittsburgh Crawfords, Birmingham, those clubs, the Yankees would have had hell beating them if you want me to tell you the truth. Just dry along, don't add nothing with them. Just take the club. And you can see now the Alpha Leagues we had some tough ones. We had a lot of them, top superstars.
More of the interview with Satchel Paige when we come back. He was asked whether Jackie Robinson was the right choice to be the first black player in the Major Leagues. Gave a fascinating answer, so stick around for that. 888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243.
It's the Sage, Larry Elder. Do not leave town. America, we have a country to save. And now, here's Larry Elder.
Hey, Larry, it's Cozy Ole in Nevada. Someone should inform Missouri that the Democrat socialists are only saying what they're saying about taxing the rich to manipulate the poor for votes. Everyone knows that they're not really going to go after the billionaires because they are the billionaires. They're just using it to manipulate the poor for votes. Have a good day, Larry, and keep up the good work.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactory.com studio. Yesterday I asked you, do you believe that hurricanes are becoming more frequent and more powerful due to human-induced climate change? I got to tell you, this is, I think, the first time I ever got a response like this. 0% believe that hurricanes are becoming more frequent and more powerful due to human-induced climate change. 0%. 100% the other way. Here's the one for tonight. I'll give you the results tomorrow. Do you think Joe Biden will win the 2020 Democratic nomination for president? I've asked this question months ago. It's now down the road a bit. Let's find out how you feel now. Either yes or no. In order to participate, you must be a member of the Zip community. Go to your app store, download the Zip app by searching under Zip Poll USA, and be sure and use my code SAGE, S-A-G-E. We will talk about this tomorrow.
They never did figure we could play ball until Jackie Robinson went in. Then they found out we could play.
Was he a good choice for number one?
Yes, he was, because I'll tell you why, too. It was who the big league wanted. See, they picked Jackie, and Jackie was on the bench with us. He's with the Monarchs. Jackie was on the bench with the Monarchs when the big league.
He couldn't make the first team?
No, sorry, bar.
You hear that? Jackie Robinson didn't even start on the Negro League team that he was on called the Kansas City Monarchs. Didn't even start.
Now, you can get some letters from me if I'm wrong. Couldn't make the first club. Couldn't make the Monarchs.
Well, Newt Allen said that he couldn't make the shortstop because he couldn't make the long throw.
All right. What else could he make? Tell me this.
Second base.
Who are you going to beat? You couldn't beat Newt Allen playing second. Newt Allen just told you that. There wasn't no way in the world for him to beat Newt Allen playing second. And he couldn't take Jesse Williams' place in shortstop. And he couldn't take Sewell's place on third. Let's face it. Couldn't take George Yount's place on first. Let's face it. If I'm telling you wrong, you get some letters. I get some letters for it. No, he's on the bench. And a lot of people hate to hear it, but that show you how great a ball club we have. And when you ask me, could we play any club? Sure, we could play club. We had a lot of men good as Jackie wasn't playing on the bench. Now, we back in that day, see, I was a top man in America. When I say in America, I mean both clubs. That's white and colored for pitching. And they couldn't have used me because I had to play it against all the all-star clubs in Los Angeles, and they couldn't have booted me around like they did Jackie, you know, with those things. Cause I don't know if I could have took that or not. I can tell you now, I wouldn't have took it because I'd have felt like I was bigger than that. I didn't have to take that, you know, to stay up there. But see, he did it and made the record, and I don't know, before Jackie died, he looked like he was my grandpa, so that.
I'm Larry Elder. Let's do this again tomorrow. Salud.
What can I say? Mamba out.
The mic has been dropped all across America.
That's enough. Put down the mic.
The Larry Elder Show.